Tran, did you vote?
Yes, I said aye.
You were aye, okay, in the favor, okay. Resolution passes.
I did vote, I just said aye, okay, but I did not turn my microphone on.
Was that a unanimous vote then? It wasn't.
Okay.
All right. No one abstained, no one voted no, so it's unanimous. All right. Excellent. I know there's one other item of business that I need to find my. Here we go. The next business item is item number four, a follow up on the historic resources inventory and the petition requesting the addition of Unalaska Lake and the Ululuk River. This is a petition that I brought to the board, I think it was 2 months ago, 3 months ago, on behalf of Mr. Hancock, who could not make that meeting, I believe. So I presented the petition to the board, and we discussed it at that meeting, and then there was some discussion about it on the last meeting, and there was some questions on whether the petition and the goal of the petition actually met the definition, and so staff has done some clarification on that. So staff.
Okay. All right, so in your packet is a memo describing the role and requirements of a historic resource inventory and a follow-up on the petition requesting that the lake and river be added to the inventory to help protect these natural features. A reminder is that the inventory itself serves as an informational resource only, and that getting listed on the inventory offers no direct protection. But after speaking with SHPO for guidance on this issue, it was made clear to me that natural features such as water bodies and landscapes are rarely, if ever, qualified to be designated as a historic resource in and of themselves. It usually is the buildings or sites surrounding them that have been altered by humans, so like bridges or buildings or some other structure kind of thing. But we can certainly try. So in order to update the inventory, we need to hire a consultant with that level of professional expertise. So staff is requesting funds for fiscal year 16 to do this. At that time, we can certainly pass this petition and the request along to the consultant that we contract with to see if they can document the details on how the lake, river, or any specific sites along the lake or river could qualify as a historic site and then be included on the inventory. It might be difficult, but we can certainly try and, you know, kind of depend on, you know, reach out to the consultant to do some research and probably reach out to the folks that have signed the petition to get some more information. So happy to answer any questions.
Thank you, and have them reach out to me because I signed that petition too. So
I will.
Okay, so we are commissioners' questions for staff and then public comments, is that right? Okay. Commissioners, any questions for staff on this petition? You don't want to know? Have no questions about it? Or?
I do. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I had a question for staff. As I read through this report, I just wondered if there was anywhere in the state where they did preserve or create a historic landscape or area, like kind of like the Mendenhall Glacier. I know it's a lot different than a river or a lake, but the significant, in my opinion, I think the significance of this area is something I think that based on what I've heard from the petition, that it would be more of an informational kind of piece for people who visit in Alaska rather than a protection piece. So I was wondering if we wanted to make it an informational piece, could we move forward? And I started to think about different areas in the state, kind of like the Mendenhall Glacier. Of course, it's not the same, but
think there's a ton of different ways you can approach it. I mean, the community as a whole could put together an informational piece on the role of the river and lake in our community. But the scope that I was approaching this was working with SHPO to see if it technically qualified to go as a historic site, which is slightly different. And the way they described it to me is if it's a water body or a landscape, that's not usually what they deal with. They are more dealing with the human altered kind of site, or I don't know. So I don't know if that answers your question. I think there's a number of different ways that and routes that people could take to try to memorialize or recognize the role of that in the community. But and we can certainly try to take this route, but I'm not sure that it will get what we want. And maybe, you know, if we get the consultant working on it, they can gather a bunch of information that could then help us put together our own informational piece on it. And that might be really cool for us locally.
Thank you. The reason why I ask is because I had gone to a couple of meetings related to this area, and the idea of having kiosks or something like that was brought up as a part of the petition. So I just wanted to see or make sure that's reflected, that it's more of a informational thing rather than just a protection. But thank you.
Thank you. Commissioners, any other comments? Public comments? Has anyone signed up to speak to this issue?
One member of the public.
Yes.
Thanks. This is on again. Jeff Hancock for the record again. There's a small amount of misinterpretation here about what this petition was created for. And the questions that were asked of SHPO, specifically the questions that were asked to Jeff Weinberger, who's an archaeologist and been in the state a relatively short time, the questions that were asked to him was, can you have an AHRS card, an Alaska Heritage Resource Survey card, for a lake or a river? That was the question that was asked of him in an email that he sent to me today, along with the full text of his comments that he returned back to city planning staff, which go much further than what is written in the staff report that's here before you. To the petition, if we can look at that for a minute, the petition is about protecting the lake and the river, but it's protecting the lake and the river by protecting the watershed. The watershed is not the lake and the river. It's not the water body. The watershed is the uplands of the river and the lake, the shoreline. And so by asking the question about protecting the waterway or, you know, a body of water, it's basically created a situation where the SHPO returns a verdict of no because it's not done or very, very rarely done. This is about protecting the shoreline of the lake and the river, the drainage of the lake and the river, and thereby protecting the quality of the lake and the river. And that is very much possible in a great many ways under the National Register guidelines and the state guidelines and what would be the local guidelines then. And this is not the first time that this has been discussed. I'm going to refer you back to the original Alaska Historic Preservation Plan. I know that this is not your adopted plan. This is not what you're working off of now. So I'm going to quote it as an historical text, okay? Because that's what it is. And as an historic text, it's a tool that we can use to determine what was originally intended when the historic preservation ordinance, sorry, that was me, was when the original historic preservation ordinance was created. And this was the document that was used. It was prepared by the National Park Service for the city of Unalaska back in 1989, 1990, when the Historic Preservation Commission was originally founded, established here. And the current document that you're working with now, the current preservation plan, was drafted some 4 or 5 years later by someone who was a retired city manager of Unalaska, who was here for a relatively short time, got out of the city manager business, and apparently got in the consulting business, and created this Unalaska preservation plan that you have now. To compare the two documents side by side, you will see that that there's a lot in here. The original historic preservation plan lists as sites sensitive to development or further development the Illilook River, basically throughout the entire valley, and from the base of Haystack, the river at the base of Haystack, all the way around past the Manson Saltery that we talked about last month to the bridge to the other side. Where they talked about this in terms of preservation was creating a series of conservation easements around the lake and the river. It says right here in this book that the Illilook River and Unalaska Lake are considered historic landscapes. And they could be protected by having an archaeological or conservation easement alongside the river and the lake. That's an easement that may be on city property. It could be on privately owned property or purchased from a private landowner if they were willing to give it up. So from that perspective, it has been discussed before. It's something that has been that isn't new. It may have not been discussed in 30 years, but it's something that originally was a concern. And had it been a greater concern then and some action been taken on it then things would likely be different today already with the lake and river, because they're both severely impaired. And I think that's been found in the process of the lake and river restoration plans and stormwater management plans that are under review right now. In the scope of Mr. Weinberger's comments to me on the phone and via email, he referred to National Register Bulletin number 15, which talks about how to apply the criteria and definitions and things like that. I referred him to National Register Bulletin 30, which has further definitions. And there are many other bulletins that further refine these definitions that are used to evaluate various sites all over the place related to historic preservation. And one of them is, to create a site. They define a site in many different ways. And I'm not going to read you all these definitions, but if you look at these bulletins, you'll find them. And landscape is included under site. So when you talk about historic sites, that doesn't mean the site of this building. It could be the site of a battlefield that encompasses acres and many square miles of land. That is what a site is defined as. It can be a specific place where an event occurred, an area of occupation, which this area along the lake and river certainly have been for many, many, many years. Many thousands of years, actually. When you look at the possibilities of establishing a series of easements or areas of land that could be considered an historic district, historic districts are things that you can certainly get an AHRS number for, ARSH number, whatever, Alaska Heritage Resource Survey number, which is kind of where this thing got hung up. So far is that it didn't qualify, but it does. Simply speaking, it does qualify, and it qualifies as a site, as a district, as a landscape. It only takes the time and energy to put the documentation together in a way that they can consider it and give it a number. And that may sound like a very big task. However, it may not be that big, because We're talking about a mile and a half, 2 miles of river and lake area, okay? Within that area, already, there's one site that's already on the National Register of Historic Places. And there are lots of other sites down there right now, houses and things like that, that there are already these Alaska Heritage cards for, or numbers that have been assigned, from what I understand. So it doesn't seem like it's such a stretch to consider linking those things together. I'm going to read you one definition, and that's a definition of a rural historic landscape. So the rural historic landscape is one of the categories of property qualifying for listing in the National Register as an historic site or a district. So right there, it qualifies under two different definitions. For the purposes of the National Register, a rural historic landscape is defined as a geographical area that historically has been used by people, shaped and modified by human activity, occupancy, or intervention, and that possesses a significant concentration, linkage, or continuity of areas of land use, vegetation, buildings and structures, roads and waterways, and natural features. Waterways and natural features. The lake and the river can certainly be included in that. When you look at historic photographs from the last 150 years max, there are sod houses lining the shoreline of the river down there at the mouth. There are alley skin boats, Benungan boats, that are down there along the beach in a ready state of use. That was 150 years ago. A third of a mile away across the channel is the Margaret Bay site, which is nearly 7,000 years old. So it stands to reason that if people were at Margaret Bay 7,000 years ago, and we know that 150 years ago, those sod houses were still there along the shore of the creek, probably extending all the way up to the Third Street Bridge and along the front beach too even. This is certainly an area that demands greater survey and inspection. It's covered up now by a roadway and development and so forth, but the criteria speaks to that as well. It speaks to buildings that are vanished. It speaks to any evidence of civilization or anything that is gone can still be considered under this, you know, under these plans. So I think that what I would like to see is that you, when something like this comes up, and it's not, you know, I mean, you know, staff did follow up with your request, Mr. Chair, and asked the question to the state. The question maybe needed a little bit of tweaking in order to get there, because when I spoke to Jeff Weinberger today, he basically returned the same comments initially until I explained to him some of these things and we looked at some of these definitions together. And I would have liked to see this commission have that opportunity to speak to these people directly, or at least see the full text of their comments and maybe understand better or ask more questions regarding something like this, because there was clearly some bit of information that was lost in the translation. In that filter between you and him, there was information that was lost, and I returned that to where it needed to be today, and we had a completely different conversation about this. So, you know, as you continue to look at this, and if you're interested in delving into the definitions and the paperwork, that would be a great thing, because that's really what this commission is supposed to do. Survey and maintain, or cause to be surveyed, an inventory, and whether or not those things offer the kind of protection that was described that this petition is looking for, it's a step. And that's what's also included in this petition. It says right on the cover letter that this is an important step. It's not the conclusion, it's not the process, it's just a step in trying to make something happen with this. And so, just to reiterate, the reason why I developed this petition effort was as a result of some comments that I heard at the public meetings for the Restoration Management Plan and the Stormwater Management Plan. And I developed this petition because it seemed like there needed to be more local review of some of these things, that it, these development projects that had gone without any local review or without any consultation from anyone. One of your other duties is to give advice and input on, on development plans or the other agencies' work, other departments within the city, advice to the city council, advice to the state, and so forth. And that advice, part of that advice, is basically reviewing plans that might potentially impact historic sites and commenting on them. Whether you comment that, no, this is not going to impact, there's no impact here, or there is certainly some impact in this plan that we see. And again, that's just advice. Maybe it's not action. Maybe it's not that level of protection that you might consider is being sought, but it's more than what we have. And so you have to start somewhere. This is just a step. The people that signed this petition, I was challenged, by the way, by a commissioner who's not here tonight, to find the public interest, to get the people together on any issue, because he didn't see it. He didn't see the kind of interest in some of these issues that he felt was important. I wish he was here. Because I met the challenge and I got the people together and I brought the public support in. And that doesn't mean that they're all sitting here in front of you tonight, but it certainly means that they are paying attention to this stuff and they're interested in seeing something happen with this. And they're past and former HPC members, they're former city council members, engineers, construction people, teachers, biologists, tribal leaders, members, elders, you name it, subsistence users, and so forth. That's the people whose names are listed on the petition. The petition that you have in front of you in the staff report has fewer names than what the petition now has on it, and it's still being circulated. So support continues to build for this, and I really appreciate and respect the fact that there have been opportunities each month for you to have these meetings and get into this process. I know that the ordinance says that you only have to meet twice a year, but for going so many years without any effort whatsoever on this, I would like to see you guys stick with this schedule of attaching the HPC meeting right to the Planning Commission meeting, because things are gonna come up and some things need continuity and review. And when you have people in state offices and city offices who are only here for a short time and then they're gone, a lot of that constant continuity, a lot of that institutional memory is lost. And it's up to us, it's up to people like us who, who've been here and so forth, trying to pay attention to what's going on, to stay involved and active and try to make a difference. In my home state of Tennessee, I got a piece of property that's at the mouth of a river called the Harpeth River. And the Harpeth River, the lower 40 miles of the Harpeth River, is a state park. And it was created as a state park because there are three sites in that 40 miles that are on the National Register. Three sites. The oldest site is a Native American site that dates back about 1,000 years, about 400 years most recent occupation. The other historic sites are less than 200 years old. We have these resources, these cultural resources that are right here within our community that potentially date back many thousands of years. And so it's a different ball game from what people deal with in other places where they're preserving presidential homes and national battlefields and other historic structures that people can see and walk into. So those are basically the extent of my comments. And I've got lots of information on this. If anyone wants to get copies of it, we'll save you the trouble of having to go online and dig it up like I did. Thank you.
Any other members of the public signed up to speak to this? Well, thank you for those thoughtful comments. And obviously you've spent a lot of time you know, and effort in this, and you know, we appreciate that because we know that everyone's best interests are at heart here. Commissioners, do you have any comments or maybe questions for Mr. Hancock or for staff on this?
Thank you,
Commissioner Tran. The floor is yours.
I was wondering if the public member Jeff Hancock could share those documents with the planning department. So, if any commissioners are interested in getting a copy, they could. Thank you.
Comments, questions?
No.
For staff or Commissioner Williams?
No.
None.
But I do have a.
It's got to be on the recording. The minutes are accurate.
I do have a comment. I have a problem. We own down there by the creek side, not too far from the Lacanas. It's a great big house down there. And the creek is getting wider through there. It's taking away a lot of the dirt, rock, little gravels. It's starting to slide. Cause a slide, which one of our bedrooms in a few years is going to be gone, because in the old days they didn't plant them. The foundation very far, but we never expected that creek to get wide and start washing away. So before it, if it becomes historic, I have a question. So I wanted to have logs put down, you know, right there that blocks, so when the water comes rushing down like it does, you know, the logs would stop it from taking any more of that hill that's right by our property. Can we still be able to do that?
Can I comment from the floor?
Absolutely. I was wondering if she had any questions for you, so I'll allow that.
It seemed like she was directing.
Yes, she was.
what I would say,
if you don't mind.
I don't mind.
For the record, please. Thank you.
I know you guys are watching the clock. Really briefly, have I got a plan for you? if this area were protected in this way, there may be sources of money that could help you in preserving that stream bank alongside your property. Where it could be done in an appropriate way, like where basically it would be something that maybe even this commission would consult on about doing something that was historically appropriate or whatever without causing a greater impact to the water body. How would they do that? And they're talking about those kinds of things right now in this city process of they call it the lake and the river, Lower Illilook River Restoration Management Plan. And rivers meander. At Summer Bay, the stream changes, you know, from year to year. Sometimes even in the scope of one season, the channel moves, and it moves a great deal. And that the same thing used to happen more with the Illilook River. If you look at old photographs, the oldest, and they're not very old. The oldest ones are not really very old. If you look at them and you see the natural banks of the river and lake as they were even 100 years ago, shorter time than that even, maybe even 75 or 50 years ago, before the war, let's say. Sorry. The shoreline was much more natural than it is today. If you look at it in comparison, and I've thought about taking modern-day photographs and comparing them to old photographs that show the difference between the river today and how it was in historic times, in documented times. It was much wider. had wetlands on both sides. That important habitat that we've talked about for things like salmon and that kind of thing. As roads were built and as other things were developed, the river got squeezed. And so instead of that natural meandering path, you're basically forcing that water against your backyard. You're preventing it from following its natural flow. It's going to eat away naturally at its banks. But by altering the flow, as has been done, that problem was probably created. If you look at old photographs that show the church alongside the river, the bank of the river basically is up to the churchyard, almost up to the very walls of the church. And there were dories tied up right along there, up there in the river. So you know that it was deep. It's always been basically, you know, deep in that area, deep hole there. But that stream bank is something that can be protected with a plan like this. It's something that can be addressed, especially if it's, you know, if it's private property. I don't know what the avenues are, but I know that all across the country, people who have historic properties, they get grants to do things related to their property. I studied architectural history for a while in school, and I even worked for a contractor that did historic renovations. In Clarksville, Tennessee, where I'm from, we did historic renovations on buildings that were owned by people that they got either local or state funding, maybe even federal funding for. And those were things that were, those were buildings, you know, so they were doing renovation projects on buildings. But they were privately owned. So I know that it's possible. And so that, hopefully that's an answer to your question. I don't want to take any more time unless you have another question for me. Thank you.
Thank you. Commissioners, other questions, comments? That's a great point. And I would think about what would be the other side of that coin if Vicki gets just tired of her house and she wants to tear the house down completely and build a completely modern structure. Would she have a harder time doing that if the designation did go through? I'm curious how that would work.
The answer is no.
And I know there'd be a lot of landowners that might be curious about that too.
So just to clarify, this is the inventory of historic resources. So there's no, it's kind of the snapshot, you know, of, you know, this is kind of the history and this is the current situation. And so it's a good resource, but yeah.
Okay, so Jeff Dickrell is on the state historic preservation board, is he not? And I'm wondering if, I do believe he's going off to a meeting there shortly. So I'm thinking that, I don't know, but he might be able to get some clarification. But here's my take on this. We are requesting funding to hire a consultant, and he's going to know more about it than I know. And what I know is what I've heard from you and what I've read in the staff report and the comments from Rex. Is his name Rex? What was his name?
Jeff.
The SHPO guy. Anyway, that's what I'm going on. And so I wouldn't, you know, I don't know. I want to know what the consultant has to say about it. So I'm not going to, you know, I don't think it's a bad idea, but what I would hate to see is all this work be done on it and not have it achieve the goal of the petition for protection, or have it fit into the definition, whatever definition is being used at the state level, at the federal level, whatever. So I think the consultant would be will be very helpful in furthering our steps here, and I think that's the direction that we should go. So Director Reinders did state at the beginning of the meeting that's kind of the direction that we are going to go if the funding was requested for FY16, which would begin July. And so can you speak to that now?
Yeah, so
thank you so much for standing up and really kind of giving a broader perspective of what the intent was behind the petition. I totally appreciate it, because I did frame the question of, you know, can waterways, and that's and I did remember reading Watershed, and then I was kind of like, okay, well, what's the intent? So I tried the best I could, but that changes the scope completely, and it changes the question a great deal. So I feel totally comfortable with including kind of that watershed concept and working with the consultant and the public as we start kind of moving forward after July 1 and we get the funding. And, you know, I, of course, can try to apply for some grants, too, from SHPO to get the funding for an inventory like this. But I think this is totally doable, and I'm looking forward to it. So.
Of course, I will let you speak very briefly. Excellent. So I think that's the way to go, is in when the consultant does his work, and there'll be many opportunities, I think, to comment on it then, and hopefully we can flesh this out and everybody be happy. Any steps to protect the river, obviously. You know, I was at that first meeting, and I made some very passionate comments about what's going on in that river. And so and we all care. And so I think we just need to get some more information from that consultant. He knows more than I do, I think. And I think he'll do a great job bringing all that information together, all the different definitions from the different levels, and see what we got to work with. So I'm kind of excited to see what he would have to say about it. All right, I think that brings us to the bottom of the list. Yep. So unless there's any more announcements or comments, I will go ahead and adjourn the Historical Preservation Committee meeting at 8:38.